Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk about another, if you can believe it, which is still kind of, we're still trying to get our heads around this thing. Yesterday, the 33-30 win on the road at Buffalo, which is just crazy. I mean, the game... We were just talking before we hit the record button, and basically after that Cook running, so many things to talk about, just unbelievable, whether it's phenomenal or just like, what the hell was that? I mean, it just had everything in under the sun. It was just a phenomenal game, but the Vikings somehow, some way, pull it off. With the complimentary football, I'd have to say, the defense, 4 turnovers in a tutty, just unbelievable. I mean, there's not much more you can say, and I'm pretty sure this Justin Jefferson, man, once he gets his, you know, he's still got to work on his routes, and he got to learn the playbook, but once he gets that, man, I think this kid's going to be pretty good. Man, he is just growing and growing and growing, and you know, wow. Anyway, we're going to talk about it. We're going to break it all down. Now, of course, after we get, you know, through the recap, we will preview and predict the home game versus the Dallas Cowboys, which, you know, some of that injury report on Monday is going to be a little difficult. In the long run, we'll see, especially Darisaw. You know, it's one thing to miss Evans, a young rookie, in camp. That's tough on cornerbacks, but Darisaw, man, you know, he's one of the best offensive linemen in the league already. It's pretty nuts. But we'll look at that, and obviously we'll also talk well, there's two words: beat Iowa. That's what it's all about. Gophers football segment to close. If this is your first time listening to the Purple Leaders podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Open, download the show directly there. Listen to the browser. If you don't want to, you can find it in a variety of places. First, under the Rope It Open Radio Podcast, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, Amazon Music, or no, I meant to say Stitcher, and also the Living in Loserville podcast on Spreaker page. Check that out while you're at it. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. For a limited time only, the prices start as low as $49.99 for 2 months. If you decide to go with the Choice or Ultimate package, that gives you 3 months for free for Showtime, Starz, Cinemax, and Epix. That's $160 savings. DirecTV Stream, it's the best of live TV and on-demand. There's no annual contracts, no hidden fees, and you get to watch the regional sports networks. DirecTV Stream. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in the co-host here, Aaron. Man, oh, man. I mean, having to work yesterday, got to watch the full game just in time before I had to leave. Everybody was just kind of figuring out what the hell had just happened. Pretty much anybody that I talked to about it, we're going to go home and watch the little highlight reel clip just to kind of relive it. I mean, that game was just absolute bonkers.
Yeah, it started out kind of ho-hum. I mean, it went down and got the obligatory scripted touchdown. And then after that kind of dried up a little bit, and you're starting to get a little cynical, like, well, you know, we all kind of called that we were going to probably end up losing this one to Buffalo, and Allen's playing now and everything like that. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of your snooze, Cook breaks off an 80-something yard run, and everything changes from there. And I mean, everything changes from there. The whole tenor of the afternoon, the day, it was just one of those incredible games with just weird anomalies and stuff you just don't see a lot, and things going our way, things not going our way. And it was just a heck of a game to watch. I think I texted you and just said, this is probably the most entertaining game I've witnessed in at least 10 years. I mean, from anybody around the NFL. So it was just really entertaining. I think nationally, everybody kind of caught on to just what an entertaining game it was too. It was just full of everything. And we're definitely going to break that down.
Yeah, it really was full of everything. I mean, beyond, like you said, you know, that usual nice drive right away. This time we didn't get the ball right away, so it was kind of nice knowing that we'd get it in the second half in the back of your head. But when we got a three and out, I was like, okay, well, this is going to get a touchdown here probably. So, and what do you know, we did, like you said. And before you know it, you know, it was 14-7, and I got a little nervous on that first throw from Cousins, as far as the game getting away from us anyway, that went high. If you look at the All-22 tape, KJ did get bumped off his route, but it still was a high pass. And right then and there, I'm like, okay, well, that this is good field position here. And it's already 14-7. And that was one of the key stops right there to just kind of contain him and be like, all right, no big deal. It's just a field goal. You know, the Vikes go back down, get a field goal. And, you know, they were able – the Bills started driving, had a long drive, got the fumble. Was it – who caused the fumble? Was it Evans? And then Cam got it? I think it was Evans.
It was Evans. He put his helmet right on there.
Oh. To, you know, a guy that was hurting us early with his runs before it was Josh Allen hurting us with his runs. But the fumble and the, you know, a nice run back, I thought we are in business here, dude. And the turnover on downs did hurt. The first, be third and one and fourth and one, a lot of people on Twitter were screaming about should have been some runs there. And, you know, my first instinct is, yeah, dude, like maybe run on third down and then if you know you're going to go for it on fourth. I don't know. But, you know, I thought that first, Aaron, but I also noticed that, you know, we were losing some yards big time on our first and, you know, first and 10 runs. We were losing chunk yards right away. So I wonder if, and even further down, we, you know, anytime we got in a tight scenario, goal line, even if it's for third and one, but the goal line stuff, we saw what was happening against that front. It was not going good. We lost a bunch of yards. Now, one of them we'll talk about later, it may have been due, you know, to, let's just say, a creative scheme on the defensive end, you know, in the end zone for the Bills. But it was a little like, man, both of them were – one of them was a really far pass that J.J. almost came down with it. He damn near came down with it. So that's why I wasn't as mad. And in the Osborne, nice PBU by the corner. I think they had like 9 PBUs or whatever. So it was like, whatever. But a lot of people were freaking out at that moment. And I was like, yeah, I hear you, but it's all good. But then, I mean, it was like quick strike, 5 play, a little over 60 seconds, touchdown. And before you know it, it's 24-10 at half.
Yeah, and that's when you start to go, well, all the predictions are right. Maybe we can't hang with the Bills and just too much firepower and that defensive line. Just everything I predicted last week kind of came true. Interior of offensive line is just, you know, league average. And that defensive line is not league average. And they had a couple guys out even and just got first round beasts all over that thing. And I think I can't remember the defensive lineman, Chris, that was just having a field day in there. Big guy. I forgot his name. But he was just wrecking shop with Bradbury and Ingram and Cleveland. And, you know, I thought, you know, over the course of the game, they showed well, but in the beginning stages, it just, like you said, he couldn't get any run game going and just penetration and stunts. And you just couldn't get Cook off at all. And it was like, okay, well, you know, I guess you got to throw the ball here, but you also got to stick with the run. You can't just give up on it. It's where your play action comes from and everything else. So you got to keep going back to it. It just wasn't very successful, particularly in short yardage. And that's when we called on it and it just wasn't working. And so I think you're right about that. And, you know, 24-10 at halftime is pretty much what I figured. I thought it'd probably be something like that. I had no idea what would happen in the second half, but it was just pretty much me cynically sitting on the couch going, well, you know, just don't let them run away with it. Stay in this game, be competitive.
That's exactly what it was. Let's not turn this into a Philly thing. Let's not just not score any more points or anything like that. Let's at least make it respectable. And then, you know, on cue, Vikings come out and Cousins throws it to the other guy. He literally – I thought Thielen was supposed to be on the move. Thielen was right to the side of him with his hands up. And I thought maybe there's a miscommunication there, or Cousins just fucked up that way. But he admitted on the PA that he thought that was Jefferson. He's like, I don't think I've ever done that before, or it's very rare, but I thought that was Jefferson. So and then if you look at the throw, you're like, yeah, I mean, it was right on him. It was definitely right on him. But then when that happened, I was like, now somehow, some way. Well, and it was a 3-and-out, actually. Yeah, it was a 3-and-out looking at it right now. I mean, boom, they got it right back. You know, it didn't cost us a touchdown or even a field goal. And I was like, okay, hold on. You know, like, this isn't that bad. It's like we had this drive where we were losing yards or getting a penalty, or I think something got reviewed during this drive, too. But it was a 4-minute drive. We only ran, like, 6 plays. But we just, you know, we just couldn't, I don't know, we just couldn't get it going. And then they had another drive, you know, 4 minutes this time. It wasn't quick strike, but 8 plays, 48 yards, 27-10. And I'm like, all right, dude, kind of back to where I was at halftime. All right, guys, let's not get our ass kicked here. Let's make this respectable. Because once you get to that 10-minute mark and you're down by 17 in the fourth quarter, the next touchdown is garbage touchdown. That counts as until you score another one. So I was like, all right, come on. And lo and behold, Cookie Monster took over.
Execution, man. What a great play. Everybody blocked. Jefferson got a great block. Cleveland, Darisaw opened it up. And, you know, you give Cook one guy to beat, he's going to beat him. And everybody, you know, asking me and asking you and all over Twitter about, you know, Cook losing a step. I don't think he's lost any steps. I don't think he even hit fourth gear on that run. Just broke it off 86 yards, I think, no doubt, wasn't touched. And, you know, right when I was thinking, okay, this is where the ball starts rolling downhill, this is the Kirk we all know and love, you know, errant passes and stuff. And, you know, Cook breaks that run and all of a sudden you think, okay, you know, we're back in it technically. I don't think any of us thought we were back in it, but technically it wasn't, you know, out of the realm of possibility. And, you know, it is what it was, 86 yards, beautiful run, well executed, and all of a sudden what it's now, 17-27, 10-point ball game.
Yep, and I wrote it down, 1:34 left in the third quarter. And, you know, like you said, all right, we're making it respectful. Let's be respectful here. Let's make it look like we belong on the same damn field. And, but shit was just going weird on both sides, not just us, them too on their third downs.
Yeah, man, snow was falling. It was just like, oh, yeah, you know, the wind, yeah.
Well, who the hell knows what, you know. The first handful of passes by both quarterbacks, you could tell the wind was swirling. But it was like, okay, let's see. But, you know, 3rd and 5, right, holding call. It's 3rd and 15. And I'm thinking, all right, dude, 3rd. One hand snag. By our guy Diggs, 3rd and 16. You know, Allen scrambles. Davis, 22-yard first down catch, like on a 3rd and 14 or something. You know, first down on a 3rd and 3. But then they got near the goal line on a 4th. Allen rolls out of the pocket like he normally does, and throws a really bad pass. Not as bad as the next one coming, but it was like, whoa, what are you doing, dude? And Pat P, the veteran, did his thing. And another guy who hasn't quite lost enough of a step to really doubt.
Yeah, I mean, this was – they're trying to, you know, stick the dagger in there, a little hubris, 4th and whatever, you know, going for the kill shot. And it was quite obvious, you know. And I think we mentioned a little bit off air, Chris, the thing about Josh Allen is you kind of see a little bit of Favre in him, and the fact that he's believes so much in his arm that he can, you know, he has a little bit too much confidence in it. I won't say too much because some of the throws he makes, you know, it's right with his confidence. And sometimes he tries to fit something in where it doesn't belong or somebody makes a great read on it. Nonetheless, you know, Peterson picked that one and right in the nick of time. I mean, these turnovers that we've been getting aren't just your, you know, ho-hum garbage-ass turnovers. They're timely, necessary turnovers meaningful turnovers. And that is, you know, Pat P had both of them as far as interceptions go. And that's just a savvy vet. We talked a little bit about that. Is like, you know, all year we've been saying, yeah, you know, Pat's, you don't really see a lot of flash and razzle dazzle, but, you know, he's doing the vet plays. He's making those pass breakups where he knows exactly where to put his hands, exactly where the refs can't see and all that stuff. And he's just got a lot of savvy to him. And it really, really was highlighted in this game and in both of those interceptions, but particularly this first one, because I think it wasn't such a clear read as maybe the second one was, but
yeah,
you know, sure. It took a vet to really know what he was looking at and what was probably coming his way.
Yep. And just hearing him explain the stuff about, well, I knew I had a 5-yard cushion, so if I just take his ass out of bounds, he can't catch the ball. And I can jump to another route. And he's done that, you know, multiple times, whether he's gotten a pick or not, or just a nice PBU. But he also had a nice little return there. And that's where I think you do see that he's, you know, it's a 12 fucking league, or 12 year in the league, you know what I mean? You're not going to have your exact speed you came out. But that was a hell of a run back to get us out of there so we're not, you know, not having to go the whole field. But the response, and this is where the complimentary football comes in, you know, that response was just huge. 13 plays, 68 yards, almost 6 minutes. Thielen had a nice catch on a 3rd and 9 just short. Osborne with that little end around did like 3 different moves to get in, you know, juke, spin. Somehow got the first down. It was like I think a 4th and 6. TJ came up big. Huge catch. Cousins scrambled and found Thielen for the 21. That was supposed to be a screen that got Cook. You couldn't even see Cook anymore. He was just like, oh, they're not gonna be able to throw to him. But luckily, there was good blocking on the right side on the tackle, and he just dipped out. And, you know, obviously him and Thielen had played a while, and Thielen just got open. He was wide open. And then there was also that Cousins scramble for that first down, and he wasn't going to slide on that one, not at that time of the game. That was pretty funny. And I really liked that misdirection because we were, you know, when push comes to shove, when you line up that many guys on the line of scrimmage in that goal line, whether it's 3rd and 1 midfield or right at the goal line, it was giving us issues, and some of the play calling changed because of that. But I like that little what's going to happen. Thielen's in motion. Is it going to be a pitch to Cook? Nope, it's going to Ham. I really like that play. And, you know, Coach KO is really starting to come together when it comes to that as far as just unique, interesting plays. You're like, yep, I see why that was the touchdown.
That's a nice play template, too, because, of, like you said, all the options you can do off it. Now throw C.J. Ham into the mix. You can probably do something with Cousins and a rollout out of that. There's just a ton of things you can do with that format, and it's really good to see, you know, C.J. get a touchdown. They said in 1st and 5 years, and I couldn't believe that. I'm like, really? 5 years for a touchdown for C.J.?
I know, dude.
Just didn't seem like that was right, but you need a little extra weight, too, to maybe pop that in, although I thought it was pretty well blocked. And just a good play call and, you know, putting it in. Everybody is talking about these veterans, man, and off season was a lot of like, just trade them off and, you know, get rookies and, you know, get draft picks. And it's like all of these wins are down to like signature veteran plays that you can't make as a rookie because you just don't know what the hell you're doing. You know, we're going to talk about Kendricks' thing. That's a vet play. Pat Pizer, a vet play. Evans, you know, made a good tackle, but so they're pretty young guys in that turnover. But all these big defensive plays, particularly, are veteran plays. And even Kirk, you know, veteran. These guys, you know, they might not be as spry as some of these young kids coming out, but, you know, wisdom is another thing. And I think that's on display in some of these comebacks is just knowing football, 8-year vets, 10-year vets, 12-year vets, you know. It's just kind of coming to fruition as far as the wisdom and the knowledge they have of the game and the things they've seen before. It's just kind of all there for you to watch and see. I don't think, you know, I kind of was on the bandwagon for tear it all down, but now taking a look, you know, at a competitive rebuild, maybe it's a thing. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a who knows at this point. But, yes, but you weren't on the complete tear down the whole framework. You know what I mean? You weren't on the Trade 8 guys, though.
No, I wasn't in the Trade 8 guys, yeah. But I was in the maybe do we do something with Cook, yeah, Hunter, you know, or Cousins or Hunter. The names that were in the rumor mill, it was like, you know, it wouldn't be so bad. But now I think we need every single damn one of them because they're all making plays and they're vet plays and they're great plays.
But it's a legit debate, legit argument to have that type of trade. Yeah. It's a little different than, you know, like you said, people want to trade guys that are 29. You know, you're like, what are we doing here? But they want to keep Jefferson, too. You know, like, oh, okay. So there's going to be two years of guys that are younger than Jefferson on our team. And who's our quarterback again? What are we going to do then? You know, like, you can never trade 8 guys in an offseason. Stop. Anyway, and that this isn't just fans. You know, fans are fans, but this is on, you know, radio. You know, this is our professional people that get paid are saying this. And they still try to do some shit now mid-season. Just trying to, like, knee-jerk, still, though, you know. I think if we had this quarterback or this, that, or if we would have traded him, or, you know, it's just silly. But we did, unfortunately, the score at that time was 27-20. I won't go any further. I think everyone knows what happened there. But, yeah, that didn't go so well. Now, they moved the ball a little bit. Or, no, I think it was a 5-and-out, 3-and-out. But Harrison Smith digs on the sidelines. Great play. Just made it tough enough to where he had to tuck it in. He had it in his hands, but you got to tuck it in, and he wasn't able to do it. And it was pretty – Harrison Smith got up, took the helmet out, and it was like a perfect, like, yep, gotcha. It was a nice play, like you said. And so it's 4:34, down 27-20. And, I mean, it's one of the better turnover on down drives you can have. 12 play, 75 yards when you need it. It probably would have been longer, but we only had, you know, not a ton of time, so we had to do what we had to do. Cousins had a little step-aside bullet to Osborne. Thielen had a great first down catch. We did give up some sacks there. I think it was a sack on first down. And then a 3rd-and-13 sack, which made it 4th-and-18. Mm. And then Justin Jefferson stole the show.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen it now. I don't need to go into play-by-play. He was, you know... My first initial thought was there's just no way he came down with it. The way his body was contorted, he had one arm up. You know, the defensive back had both hands on the ball. I thought it was a pick for sure. And I just didn't know. I mean, who's going to think that he's going to come down with that with one hand? It all happened on the ground, basically. Just smart play on the ground and a little bit of strength. And, you know, I saw that. No, me either. And I saw the interview of the defensive back, too, and he was like, you know, just tap it down on the ground. Yep. He's in hindsight. Yeah. He's like, don't go for the pick. Just knock the ball down. And a great play, man. Cousins, with all the faith in the world, I think he even said in the huddle, you know, I'm just going to throw it up high for you. And,
right.
You know,
it's going to be high and fast.
Yeah. And I mean, what else you got at 4th-and-18? You got a lot in your playbook at 4th-and-18? You know, let your star players be star players. So yeah, I would say great ball by Kirk. If I hadn't known that he had said that to Justin, I'd say probably errant pass or an overthrow.
A little high there, Kirk. Yeah, right. Yep.
But now that I know that they talked in the huddle, I'm thinking, you know, put it where you got to put it, man, and give him a shot. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, 2% shot, but he had a shot. Went up and, you know, basically broke up an interception and on the way down found a way to keep the ball off the ground and bring it in away from the defensive back. I think that's probably the greatest contested 4th-and-18 catch I've ever seen. Just the way it went down. I can't think of another catch where I thought, you know, the required. Now Diggs's catch, that was a hell of a catch, you know,
yes.
And Diggsy was ready to party on us. He was ready, dude.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. I mean, and Dixie's competitive, man, and I miss him. Yeah. I wish he was still on this squad. It's one of those players that's like, even we know we have Jefferson, but you and I always off air, we're like, God, if we had them both, it'd just be unfucking believable. But you can't have them both. You traded one and got the other. But so those two were competing. There was a lot of inner dynamics there, and it was just, you know, Dixie's had a great catch, kudos, but Jefferson's was better and more timely and needed on 4th and 18. It just one of those, another one of the unbelievable things that happened yesterday.
I mean, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to stop this pick. Well, I'm at it. I mean, I am here. I might as well just, you know, cuddle this thing in. I don't even know the words to describe what he did, but not to. I know he has, like, long fingers. I could see that, you know. But golly, the strength of those hands, dude. It's just everything about it. And like you said, and here's the difference.
He had to have been. He had to have been literally, like, it's hard to say this because I've had the ball in the air on the way to you before. And everything goes quiet. You focus on the ball.
Sure.
And the ball goes slow. So I'm thinking all that. He must have, like, thought his whole way down to the ground. Like, thought about what was going on. Felt and thought. Felt the ball. Thought about his body. Thought about his arm. Thought about pressure. Thought about all that stuff on the way down. There's no other way to do it. It's just unbelievable concentration. And
yeah.
Jefferson, I mean, they say it's a signature catch. Well, he's young, man. He's got a lot of more catches to go. But that's definitely on the list of signature catches for him. And it will be at the end of his career.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people see it. Let's put it that way. And the difference here is people are calling that a jump ball. That wasn't a jump ball. It was lofted, you know. And that's the difference between what we talked about in Philly on that third pick, where it needed to be high and fast, because Jefferson could get that. But I also want to talk about Jefferson in the fit, you know, the jump ball stuff too, because that's the one thing, because he's not a big dude or whatever, that, and he had a jump ball in that 3rd and 1. You could tell he was mad. You could almost tell in his head he was like, I will not drop another ball. You know, fuck that. That's every ball's mine. And he had a rough – he even said, you know, I had a couple 50-50 balls last week I didn't get. He could have probably had a 200-yard game. And he said it right there in the press conference after he made plenty of plays in the, down the stretch of that game. And for him to be like, it, not just I'm going to get better, like the very next week I'm now able to get a jump ball and that's my ball, you know. That's the difference there, dude. It's just we tried all rookie year to not think about how good he was. And just, no, let's give it a little more time. Let's give it a little more time. And it's just – it's undeniable. You just can't deny it. I love me some Diggs, but this dude is just beyond, man.
Especially well, I'm thinking of all three of his catches, right? His touchdown catch in the first drive. Right. That wasn't easy, you know. And he pulled that in. Obviously, the catch, quote unquote, and then the one we're going to get to down on the sideline, another just great ball by Kirk, by the way.
Yeah, but
I think Kirk is just
best toss there.
I think Kirk is just like, dude, there's, if I get it around you, you're going to, I mean, literally, and we say that about a lot of receivers, but I mean, literally, if I just get it within your physical ability to get,
it's going to go
9 out of 10 times, you're going to get it.
Yep. It's like, and that's what he did there, and that's a tough-ass throw, especially getting hit at it. That's a really tough throw. I've heard a lot of quarterbacks say that this day, today. Like, dude, that's a great throw. And like you said, though, a great catch because he got 2 feet in per usual. And like you said, that one down by the 3, and that's what we're basically about to get to, that you know, instead of playing it safe or whatever, nope, 1st and goal, he caught the ball. And then shit got a little weird. You know, then it's like, okay, we're in the red zone. This front 7 is beating us, though. It was a little rough. You know, we lost yards right on the first play, but as we know, we believe that is the play where they had 12 defenders. So, yeah, we were losing, you know, we were losing yards on first down runs and stuff like that, no doubt, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, we can't block 12. It's just
can't block 12. I mean, let's be honest about it. But and then, you know, I mean, it was just weird. It was just a weird set of circumstances down there. you know, we had it fourth and goal. And Cook, you know, tried to turn his head around before catching the ball and dropped the ball. But they were offsides. You could tell they were offsides right away. Cousins was looking left, 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 and then he just dumped it to Cook. Right, you know, it's like, oh, shit, he's open. But, you know, it's a penalty, so, okay, let's sneak. You know, let's sneak him this time. And that didn't go in. And it just seemed like so much stuff was going on there. It's just like, what are we? What's going on? We're good. We were on the 3 yard line. Like, we keep losing yards. What is going on? And it was rough, man. It was really rough. And when they said no go, it was like 47 seconds, 41 seconds left or something. I'm sitting there going, man, wow. So this is it, huh? And I'm sitting there with that damn plus, you know, that minus 3.5 going, this is how I'm going to win this freaking bet. Huh? This is how we're going to do it. And, you know, my mind talked about this before we hit record here. And my mind's like, okay, well, let's get a safety. Let's get a safety. And they got a little more than that.
Yeah, so we've all, you know, gone over the years and years of bad offensive lines. And this year we're like, okay, you know, I think we're league average. I don't know what PFF has us at, but, we've improved and even the interior has improved a bit, but that front seven and that rotation for Buffalo are damn good and they're beasts. And when they wanted to, you know, impose their will on this offensive line, they did every single time. And that's why we couldn't run the ball in short yardage. That's why we couldn't get this quarterback sneak into the end zone. You know, they are good, man. And, I mean, maybe yeah, great.
Secondary guys, that's one thing, but the front seven, that has, you know, that doesn't have much to do with the secondary. We're trying to run the ball.
That's part of what's so astonishing about this win is that it's such a great advantage they had on the defensive line. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Now, we do have probably the best tackle tandem in the league. But Bradbury, Ingram, and Ezra Cleveland will leave you wanting. And, you know, they were just getting bullied down there. And it didn't surprise me that Kirk didn't get in. You know, I think the series probably would have changed a little bit had Ingram not stepped on Kirk's foot. And
For the second time.
And just, you know, the way Kirk fell back. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, also you got to give, you know, Ingram a little bit of credit. Those are some beasts that he's trying to block, man. He's got to get his feet under him. So, you know, and Kirk, you know, could have moved his foot too. Nonetheless, it was what it was. And you're right. You know, fourth, it would have been nice. I mean, it was a matter of inches. I mean, this is the old Berman line is it just comes down to inches sometimes. And that definitely was it. And, you know, the Bills are running off thinking they just iced the game. And, you know, I'm thinking they probably did too. And then they come out and they, you know, they got to get out of the end zone. You're like, you're calling for a safety and trying to work out the points in your head about, you know, what, that's 2 points. And then we get blah, blah, this, and we got punted and we get the ball, all that stuff. And, Kendricks is just standing there with his eyes peeled, looking over the offensive line there. And, you know, and it was a tight bunch set, you know, so it's probably hard, a little bit hard to see in there. But you see the replays, and Kendrick has kind of got his eyes there just, come on, drop this thing. You know, the Bills coach said, well, we don't practice it. You know, it's just one of those things. Because how often are you in that situation? Not very often. And fumbled snap. Allen never really got it in his hands. Ball hit the ground. Kendrick saw it. You mentioned you saw a replay where Kendrick's eyes just got about as big as silver dollars. And he just went and does what Kendrick does best, is see ball, get ball. Went for it, got at it. Pat Peterson saw right away, too, because he was already signaling on his out. And what a play, man. What a play. I mean, that was the game changer right there. It just so random, I guess you could say. So you don't see that very often. And, you know, turn 7 points. What is that, 14-point swing? 7-point swing right there on that one play. Just that will also go down in Vikings lore. Is just one of the better plays you've ever seen. Just the fact, I mean, the guys that must have been tugging at that ball in that pile, Kendricks, good job, man. Yeah, we'd hang on to that ball, you know.
Yeah, I liked how he was still on the ground. Like, no, no, are we done? Is that my teammate touching me? Because I'm not letting this thing go, dude. I am not letting this thing go. Yeah, that was complimentary football right there, sir. That's how you play that, man. We can look at the yards. We can look at the points. But four turnovers, baby, when we needed it. So that was huge. And then there was a pass that didn't count, but it did count. It actually did count. Shouldn't have counted, but it did count. And they moved that damn ball real quick down the field. I mean, it was no problem at all. 39-second drive, no problem. Left 2 seconds for you. Here you go. You can have those. We don't need 41 seconds. We'll take it 39. And we had a PI in there, too. And it was like, all right, well, hey, maybe we held him to a field goal. I mean, that's
the Booth one where he wasn't a PI. I don't even want to explain it, but I just want to see. I wish they could publish. I think I told you this off mic that just give us the tape that O'Connell's going to send to the league, right? You know, because it is full of stuff, man. 7-8 plays that we left out, yeah. You know, Thielen getting steamrolled coming off the line. I mean, there's just so much. This crew is, we had them 2 weeks in a row. I don't know what's going to happen to this crew, but I would venture to say we won't see him again this season.
Yeah, this is a motley crew, so to speak. It's just, oh boy. Yeah, that was bad. We will get that report, you know, because there's always the report. Oh, yeah, this is what we got wrong. Sorry. I haven't looked at that yet. Yeah, dude, it was pretty bad. But then we stuck with the run, and I love sticking to the run. 10 minutes on the clock. There's no point in freaking out, you know, and it's working now too. Cook, first down run. JJ, first down. Cook, another, you know, I really liked what we did there. I thought that was, I think there was like, that was where Cousins threw one to Cook and we lost yard. I mean, these loss of yards today were just nuts. It was second and 22. When I looked at the replay of that, it could have been, it was tight. It was tighter than I thought. I thought for sure it was a lateral, but then I was like, huh, that's a little close, but they're not going to review it. Who needs that? But either way, that was a legit call. But
yeah,
well, Jefferson drew the PI. Then Cook got another first down run. But, you know, we start getting in there. We had, I think it was a first down, no gain run. Something with Osborne in there, but on a 3rd and 10, Is that the play? 3rd and 10? I think it is. The comeback that JJ caught on the edge, or no? Or no, that was when there's so many fucking catches, I kind of forgot now. Maybe it was the one by the three. Maybe we mixed that up. But either way, it was 1st and goal, lost yards right away, sacked. I mean, incompletion, going high, trying to do whatever we had to do, kind of got it rid of it. And next thing you know, it's 33-30. You know, luckily luckily it was close enough. Because, you know, they keep saying that he hasn't missed a field goal under 50 yards. But, I mean, I know an extra point's not, you know, but let's not be too happy about that stat. Because all these extra points are under 50 yards. But let's. I remember hearing that. Like, well, dude, he hasn't missed. Yeah, but dude, those are, they're not field goal 3 points, but you miss four, you know, that are less than four, way less actually. Then I got a little spooked by that time. I got to admit it, because it's like, all right, we didn't score a touchdown in the game. Okay, back to back Allen scrambles. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh boy, here we go. We're not stopping this fucking guy. He's too big. He's not even looking to pass. He just dropped back. All right, one look, I'm gone. And it was working. And that's also why you can't get constant pressure on the guy. Because if you go too crazy with it, he's just going to juke you out and you'll be lost. You'll be giving up touchdowns and stuff like that. But the guy who we just signed not long ago and activated off the practice squad, Shelly, I think he's from Duke. Nice play. In the end zone when we had to have it. And I think I saw someone saying he's like 5'8". No boy is like 6'4". Great, great play. And then, speaking of great, a future Hall of Famer took over, Pat Pete.
Yeah, Duke Shelley, man. That we saw the number 20 and just like, but Mac, what's going on, you know? And, you know, at 5'8", he never would have saw the field for Zimmer.
Yeah,
you don't even play with those guys, 6'1", or go
have
home.
The longest arms in the history of mankind to be able to get on the field with Zimmer with that.
And then another one of those, you know, my arm will defeat the world type of passes. thank God he threw it, but, you know, you knew, you could tell Peterson was kind of baiting him a little bit because he had already dealt with his responsibility. I think he got the guy out of bounds, made him ineligible, and now it's just time to kind of be a ball hawk. And he kind of went through in his post-game presser and said, you know, he kind of broke down exactly, like, this is what was going on. I don't remember what he said, you know, about the technical football stuff, but he knew exactly what was coming in front of him. He knew exactly where to be. And he just kind of waited, throw it, you know, get Allen to throw that ball. He threw that ball. It was no question. Jumped right in front of it and ended the game. It, you know, Peterson, he deserved the chains on that one because he, his two plays there are just monumental as far as this win goes. And you know, we've been waiting all last season, you know, Pat P's got to make plays. And he's playing a little different system, a lot different system, playing press and bump last year. And now he's kind of playing that Donna shell, I guess. And it seems to be doing good for an old vet to be, you know, off the ball and being able to see what's in front of him and, you know, making those plays. I think he had one pick last year, final game of the season. He's got three in the last couple of games. So good on Pat Peterson and continue to do it, man, and teach these young guys because they're going to be coming through a lot. I know Booth is probably going to end up playing. Evans is hurt. Cam's hurt. We got Duke Shelley. So we're a little thin at that other corner spot.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. And to seal the game like that, you know, we've had, I remember a few years back, actually it was 2015, Chiefs game, winnable game. Just winnable, because those Seattle freaking games, what was it, 4 years in a row we played at Seattle? And it's so tough to get an elite team, elite victory over elite team. Sorry, it sounded like PJ Fleck all of a sudden, but I'm pumped up about this Iowa game, I guess. And I mean, it's just so crucial. So crucial. And, you know, overall, the old line did hold up as much as they could, like you said, against who they were going with. And we had 53 dropbacks. We threw the ball 50 times or something like that. Like, you're going to have, just like if you're going to be risky and throw the ball 50 times, you're probably going to have some bad passes there. Well, you're probably going to let some fucking pass rush in there. So I thought overall they did a pretty good job. It wasn't like these last 2 weeks. Washington, I think they got less hits this week. I think they got, like, 10, but I think it was 14 yet last week. So they got, you know, 10 hits on them. But overall, man, they did a pretty damn good job just slowing it down. And then on the other side of the line, you know, like I said, you can't go too crazy with Allen or he'll burn you with his feet. So, you know, to force him to 3 turnovers himself, that was huge. And, you know, we're last in red zone defense in 3 out of those 6 trips. And you may be saying 6 trips. That is true. But 3 out of, you know, only 3 out of the 6 ended in TD, and we saw 2 interceptions. I thought, you know, they played pretty damn well. Bowler was actually flashing with the tackles for loss. I was like, huh, looked it up after. He had 3 of our 7 tackles for loss. So that was a big deal. And remember, one of those sacks is technically on the Darrisaw trip or whatever. So that goes down as a sack. The other one just goes down as a loss of yards. But that, you know, they only gave up 2 sacks. Well, that's really only giving up kind of like 1 sack. In a sense, he didn't get out maneuvered to give up the block. So he didn't give up. I guess you could probably put that. It doesn't go down on him as a sack, but I think you got to kind of do it. But he didn't give up another sack, though. He only gave up 6 pressures. So that was the only weak link. But we know that that's coming, and we know that much like we put Zadarius on the weak link on the opposite side, you know, that's going to happen. But overall, man, the way this team fights – we're just saying, once again, right before we started the show, like, just beyond 2009, where you thought, well, we got Favre, dude. And once we saw the Niners game, it was like, we got a chance to win any game, you know? I remember this, I think it was an overtime game against Chicago. Rice was making crazy one-hand grabs in the end zone and all that. We ended up losing that game, but there's just not too many seasons, if ever, you can really feel like, hey, we got a chance here, no matter what the score is. Because, you know, it's one thing to come down from 14 against Washington or 14 and 10 against Detroit, but we're down 17 late in this game.
Yeah, I mean, we've had good squads, like you said. 98 was a, you know, they ran away from everybody. And 2009, you know, they had Favre, they had a kind of X factor there. There wasn't a lot of comeback wins in that one. But as far as grit and just the stuff that, you know, I think all of us Viking fans have been sitting around like saying, yeah, God, you just want a team that competes, you know, and fights. And if you lose a fight, that's fine, you know, but I want to see you fight. And these guys fight, man, and they win. You know, it's 8-1. You know, we kind of had a hiccup against Philadelphia, I think, just kind of finding themselves, and the defense was young. And I can say that now, 8 games or 9 games in, because I've seen steady improvement from this defense, you know. And we're so used to the Zimmer thing that it's hard for us to kind of judge what this one is and where it's at. But now that it's kind of coming together, I mean, they gave up one touchdown in the second half. I think the week before they shut out the second half. So they kind of get their feel for it in the first half of games, and then they lights out in the second half. And this was a hell of an offense that they stymied. And to give up 6 points in the second half is pretty impressive. And I'm not saying they're all the way there yet, and I don't think they would say that either. But it's starting to really come together defensively, and that's just going to bode well because I think our offense can do a lot of things. We still have, like you said, the line has played better. But they're not world beaters, and, you know, we asked for league average, and I think they're holding up. And, you know, Bradbury's not what Bradbury's been. I think he's improved a bit. He's not ended up in the laps that much. And Ingram's young, and I'm still going to stick with that. Everybody's, oh, he sucks, and get someone else in there. He's a rookie, guys, and he's probably held up better than some of the guards we would roll out there in the last few seasons. So, you know, yeah, give him a little bit of time. And Cleveland is getting more solid. And, you know, obviously the tackles are probably going to be both all pro. So I think we're doing pretty good. That, you know, this squad is just different. Even if you drop one, you know, it's not going to change the way that this – as long as they continue to fight the way they're fighting, we'll be proud of them. And I really am. I just can't really think of another squad. Chris, maybe you hadn't. Maybe they weren't that successful. I just can't think of a team since we've been watching. And I'll make that personal to me since I've been watching that has the kind of fight and grit that I see this team have.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that wild card team that upset, you know, San Francisco in Candlestick, but I'd have to go back. And I know for a fact they didn't have 7 straight consecutive wins by one score because, you know, there's only 2 other teams that have it in the history of since the merger. So, yeah, I really can't capture it, but it is phenomenal. It really is. And, in fact, this is Dusty Baker. Sunday's win in Buffalo was the first time the Vikings erased a 14-point halftime lead on the road in the regular season in 37 years. And we've had a lot of great offenses come through that door, defense as well, and then it gets even crazier. So the Buffalo Bills at home went up by 14 points. 52 straight wins dating back to 1968. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's just crazy. Jefferson now has 2,000-plus receiving yards through 3 years. Odell and Randy were tied at 19 along with J.J. now, and he's still got 8 games to go. I mean, his stats are just silly, too. He's got the 20th career 100. That's his 20th. That's a record, like I said. 7th, and this is the one we were talking about earlier, like 2 weeks ago, 7th career 150, which is the number 1-2 since the merger as well, having 150 within, you know, that many games. I think it's the 5th win this season, trailing in the 4th quarter. And, you know, here's another one. Dusty Baker said that as far as road game win, week 8, 2012, the Vikings won against a 12-2 Texans. you know, so it's like, okay, yeah, that was a good road win and whatnot. And obviously we know we were like a 9 or 10 point underdog in 2019 on the road to New Orleans, but nobody looked at that Saints team like they looked at this Bills team. And no matter what, you sent me a next-gen stat on Jefferson. No matter if you go on contested passes or 50, you know, sub-50-50 balls, I mean, the dude caught everything coming his way, man. I mean, this guy, we already been saying it, but the numbers are crazy. And lately, these last 3 weeks, I think, or 2 weeks, we've been able to get, and maybe it's because our run game's coming together too, where they're like, well, once in a while we'll leave J.J. Moore one-on-one, or it won't be two or three straight-up bracket, because we've actually hit on 7 plays the last 2 weeks of 20-plus, whereas week 1 to 8, I think it was only 8 of them. So just in that time, you know, we're starting to turn that corner. Talk about that next-gen stat that you sent.
Yeah, you know, thanks for bringing that up. I just got onto Twitter, everybody, so if you could give me a follow so I'm not tweeting out into the vacuum and void of nothingness. It's at Ancient Antics, Aaron Miller, so just A-N-C-I-E-N-T-A-N-T-I-C-S, and Aaron Miller, you'll find me there. Now, this next-gen stat, Chris, was a breakdown of all of Jefferson's catches, and I think there was 11. Did he have 11? Something like that. And all of them were like less than 50% difficulty rate, I think is what it was on. And he was responsible for 9 receptions. Oh, sorry. 9 receptions with a sub 50% completion probability. So basically that's a level of difficulty. The most in a game by any receiver in the NGS era, I guess. I don't know what that NGS is, but no other players had.
Yeah. The next gen.
Oh, next gen, yeah. And no other player has had more than 6. So he had more, I guess, difficult catches in one game than anyone else in that era. And, I mean, you didn't need the next gen stats to see that, but it is nice to see because all of them were difficult, I think. I don't really think he had one that was just a in-his-belly type of ball. I mean, he just – people say he can't catch the 50-50s, and, you know, this guy is out here just heated, and he's catching everything that in his general vicinity. I mean, it must be really nice, you know, for Kirk. And I know people are like, well, where's Adam Thielen been and all this stuff? Look, he's going to get his, okay? It's just let this happen. They're going to cover Jefferson in all kinds of different ways, and now you've added in Hockenson, who's just been a great addition, man. I mean, to hit the squad – you know what, 9 days ago, he's already got 18 catches or something like that, meaningful catches, and knows the offense. He's in the offense. Imagine what's going through his mind. He left the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
You know, I think I tweeted that out. It's like, imagine what's going through his mind, you know, and now he's on a plane ride home from Buffalo, 8-1 with a team that's hot. And just playing great football. It must be great for him. I feel great for him. And I'm glad he's here. It's another option, but you know, I think you got to be careful. Let Thielen get fixed up. I think he's got a knee issue, but he'll get his. I mean, it's coming to the time where meaningful football is starting to come down the stretch here and into the hopefully knock on wood playoffs. I'm knocking on wood because I will probably make the playoffs, but let's see what about our seeding, and we'll get into talking about that in coming weeks. But yeah, you know, Jefferson, I'm going to say he even surprised me yesterday.
Me too.
I knew he was good. I knew he was a top 10, but I wasn't ready to put him. I always thought it was outlandish to call him the number one receiver in the league.
Easy, I think.
But now a strong case for at least top 3 and probably top 2. And I really thought Diggs gave him a run for his money, and I really thought Diggs was top 3, top 2. But they went, like we said earlier, catch for catch, difficulty, all that stuff. And I really think Jefferson got the better of Diggs in this one. And that's impressive because Diggs works hard, and he's a very good receiver, very good. Got to give the devil his due. Diggs is a damn good receiver.
There's no doubt about it. This isn't about beating Diggs. You know what I mean? I mean, in the end, who gives a shit about that stuff? I could care less. less about that. And yeah, sure, it's nice, but not really, because we both liked him. We didn't want to see him. We understood the trade, but we didn't want to see him go. So I'm not trying to, you know, we're trying to.
Yeah, go go back and listen to that show. I think we had a show that night, and we're like, ah, man, Diggsy, you know.
And that's, you know, when we got a great trade, you know, just off the first round. So we were happy with the trade if we had to trade him, you know, which we did. So, but then ultimately, you know, when you get the fifth receiver picked in the draft, it always kind of funny back there. That Kendricks fumble, though, this is from NFL Research. It's the first go-ahead non-offensive TD score by a trailing team in the last minute of a fourth quarter since 1986 per Elias Sports. That just adds layers. Now takeaway leaders per game, Philly is number one at 2.3 takeaways. Guess who's number two? Minnesota at 2 a game. And it's really starting to add up a whole lot. If you just kind of look at it through 10 weeks, we're eighth in scoring now, sixth in first downs, seventh in passing yards, fifth in passing attempts. And here's a really interesting one that's been on the low. We've kind of documented the last few weeks, Cook's a running game coming along, third in rushing TDs. And you want to improve in the red zone? That's a damn good way to improve on the red zone. And, you know, for those Cousins just over-the-top haters no matter what, and, you know, fans are fans, but really speaking to the 1500 Club and a couple other media members out there, the whole can't win games at the end, that needs to be gone. If next week he throws a pick with 40 seconds on the, you know, clock and we don't win the game, just individually say that was a bad pick, just like we did with Josh Allen.
Nah, they won't, though.
Just like, you know what I mean? That just do that. But that shit's gone in the past. It's a team sport, right? We know everything has to come together to get two-minute drives. It's not just the quarterback. And here's an example. We're going back to that QB win thing, right? I've been documenting that slowly for these 1500 Club, right? And if you look at the record, and this is how stupid some of these things can be, right? If you look at the record since last season, the Bills are 0-7 when the opponent scores more than 21 points, okay? In one-possession games, QB wins, right? 2-9 in one-possession games. Now, would I ever in my life, even if we win a Super Bowl, would I ever call Kirk Cousins a better, maybe in year one, you know? Yeah, I would have been, because Allen looked like shit, except against us, of course. But, you know, I would never call Cousins better and on the same tier as Allen. Just wouldn't do it. It's blasphemy. But if we're going to go off just QB wins and closing tight games, I mean, come on. You know, and I didn't want to bring this out last week because it's like, it was almost ho-hum, we're getting all these comebacks, but here it is. And I hate to say the first name because it's a team. They do, QB wins. Kirk Cousins has led a game-tying, go-ahead, or game-winning drive in 12 of his past 25 starts. It gets nastier. This is from Tommy Kramer, actually, I think. Hey, Kramer, two drink Tommy. Kirk Cousins, since 2000, dating back to that New Orleans game, which that wasn't the playoffs technically, if we've had game-winning drives, so since then, right, Kirk Cousins is when we've won the game, because there's defense involved, as we know, and kickers. Kickers. Kirk Cousins has led a game-winning drive 13 out of the last 24 Vikings wins. That's better than 15%, right? 13-24, yep. So that shit's gone. He can do it. So let's just move on past then and judge him play by play and game by game. Sorry, end of
play. No, let me dovetail on that a little bit. Just this year's stats, I got Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones lead the NFL in game-winning drives at 5.
That's right, because they're comeback kids too.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan lead the NFL in comebacks with 5. Delvin Cook, switch it up a little bit, is 273 yards away from another 1,000-yard rushing season, which has been quiet. You know, you just wouldn't think that, which would make it his
bottom 5 or 10 in attempts.
Which this would make it his 4th consecutive 1,000-yard season, only running back since he came into the league to do so, if not mistaken. So I don't think he's lost any steps, and if he has, you're not going to notice it. He leads the NFL with the longest run now with his 81-yard run. A bunch of stats here on Jefferson, but, you know, Dalvin Cook has as many touchdowns as Diggs. I thought Za'Darius Smith, he's first now in the NFL for tackles for a loss. Hunter has 10. Za'Darius has 14. And also Za'Darius also tied as number 2 in sacks with 9.5 sacks. And Peterson is tied with Trayvon Diggs at number 2 for defending passes. So you're seeing a lot of these stats here, man. And to go back to the Cousins thing, it's like, all I ever asked of Cousins, I don't give a shit about his stat line. You know, I did when his stat line was in losing things, because you automatically think, well, improve his play and perhaps we win. But you know, it's W now. It's just dubs, dude. Win. You know, you need to throw a pick. You know, I like him taking chances. I like him throwing the ball like that. You get 3 picks in a game, I don't care, as long as it's a dub. You know what I mean? And you're taking chances. And you know what? Throwing balls to guys like Thielen, Jefferson, Hockenson, give them a chance. I'm down with that. You know, you throw a bad ball, you throw a bad ball. But I like the fact
that. Throw on first and 10.
I love that O'Connell's just, you know, getting him to loosen up a little bit and just, hey, man, we need that throw. You can make it. Go throw it.
Change
dude.
Plays now?
Yeah, just don't check down all the time. Like, you know, Zimmer was so afraid of turnovers because he had to put his tired-ass defense out there again. You know, it's a little different when you're taking chances offensively. You're being aggressive. I think that's all anybody –
plus times.
That's all anybody ever asked. And I just hope that it continues. And, you know, you were saying about the media is just, you know, they're going to try to make themselves right. I watched this morning some of the talking heads, and it was like, you know, it wasn't about how well the Vikings played. It was how bad Josh Allen played. You know, this was the whole spin, you know, like, well, if Josh Allen would have played better, then it's like, all right, dude, I just saw a team like play their guts out for 5 quarters, you know, and come away with a victory. And all you got to say is, well, Josh Allen could have played better. So expect the more of that, people. They're not going to get on any kind of bandwagon here. You're going to go into underdogs in Dallas unless the line changes in the next few days, which it might. It's already changing. And if you lose to Dallas, they're going, oh, I told you so, and they're going to make themselves right. And just don't listen to that crap anymore. It's just follow this team. Dubs matter. And that's all of it. I don't know why people get so hung up about the national, what they're saying, and they want validation. You don't need validation if you're hanging dubs, man. Scoreboard.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Definitely. No doubt about it. It's just crazy that they get paid to do that, and they're that over the top. Like, when you set records defensively in the second quarter in the last 2 minutes, you literally set a goddamn record at least 22 years. It's like, doesn't that play into the formula at all? You know what I mean? Like, we can point to a fumble at Cincinnati, at Arizona, missed field goal. These are good teams. You know, look at both Super Bowl teams we went toe-to-toe with last year. We just did. And that was another reason why I didn't want to blow up the team, because it was like, hey, or even minorly blow up, the blow-up we were debating. Because it was like, well, if I hadn't seen 14 games of one score and how close we were with so many good teams with a better schedule last year or a tougher schedule for this year, I would have been more in favor of maybe trading Hunter or, you know, that type of stuff. But it was like, nah, I think I'm good here. You know, I think I'm good. And now we're starting to see a defense making plays at the right time, and we're starting to see that serviceable interior line that we talked about, that, you know, when people would say it was pocket presence. When the fucking center's on your lap, where do you step up, dude? You know, there's no step-up room. So anyway, let's move on, though.
Hey, before we move on, can we just, you know, speaking of blowing things up, can we get to a point here, Chris, that we can just take an extra point for granted?
Oh my God.
It's getting old. It's getting old quickly. I mean, they're extra points for God's sakes.
Dead on.
Now, I know they moved it back and it's not like a gimme like it was, and that's great. And I like the fact that he hasn't missed anything between extra point and 50 yards. That's great. That's all good. But extra points, dude. Make them. This is four in the last whatever. I'm sure you got the stat, but I'm done with it, man. I cannot deal with this anymore. It's like it's put us in bad positions for two games now. We need every single point in these comebacks. Everyone. They all count, you know. I'm not saying – I don't know what to do. We talked a little bit off here, but what's the solution? Can you find a guy to bring him? Can you do this? Can you do – we're going to have to stick with him for the rest of the year. I don't know what it is, but he's got one job, dude. One job. It's just – it's. I just had to go on a little rant about that because it's just – it's enough, man. It's enough.
We're going to have to call in the National Guard or something. This is – I mean, this is crazy. We need federal funds to get a kicker. Because, like you said, and I think we both agreed that, hey, we're just going to have to stick with it because you bring a guy off the couch, and now he's going to be it, not only the kicker jinx, right, but all these games, there's no shitty games coming up, basically. So, I mean, sure, you could point out, you know, some, but not really. I mean, at Detroit with that offense, that's not going to be easy. You know what I mean? Like, it's – I'd hate to bring a guy off the couch and then, hey, right in the pressure cooker. It just – that probably won't bode well either. So I think our – since we didn't make any, you know, not that you'd want to trade for a kicker, that's not necessarily what we're saying either at the time before the – just to try out some guys week three to see if some pressure on them helps or something. I don't know, man. It is – it's getting old, man, and it's literally been since 2015. That Teddy at the helm won the division at Green Bay. Beautiful. Had a home game. It was at the Gopher Stadium, and it was 20 fucking 8 yards or whatever. And it was
okay, dude.
Horrible.
Yeah. All right, so.
Fucking Antifa.
Right. It's far left. Yeah, so like you said, there doesn't seem to be a lot of alternative. If it's a confidence thing, man, it's like, okay, dude, you've had 8 games for confidence. Just make the fucking extra point. Just make extra point, dude. It's
extra point.
That's the part of the number one thing of your job is
just, we're going for it on fourth.
That's got to be there.
You're already going for it on fourth.
And these games coming up, you know, the Dallas coming up, they're not going to get less important. There's no more breaks, dude. You know, it's all pressure all the time now.
Everything
you know.
Counts.
It all counts. So Dallas at home, Chris, it's what are we at? I think you said the line moved to 1. We're dogs apparently at home. We go into Buffalo. We beat them in their place that nobody does. And we're home dogs against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, something about 1968 record. I forgot what I said. But, yeah, we are for now. I mean, it did. Yeah, it opened at +2, jumped on it. Plus +1 now, and it could be even. Maybe we'll be. We'll see. But it's a 47.5 over under. Now, you know, recording this on a Monday, it is difficult to predict what's up with Darisaw in Evans because he's at least played in the game more than Shelley. But Evans and Darisaw, but especially Darisaw. They're in the concussion protocol, so it's really vague. We don't know. Every concussion is different. And, hey, this, you know, we're talking about Darisaw here. We don't want to fuck around with him at all. He's out for a month. I'm not going to fuck. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? This is serious stuff. So, but you never know. It could have just been like a walking concussion where you just blipped out for a second and you did hit your head hard and all that, and you're going to be okay, though. It's really tough to say. I didn't really see it, so I thought that would be Brandell did come in, a guy that can play guard and tackle. He actually, PFF liked him for his 20-plus snaps, so that's a positive. But, you know, these mother effers get to the quarterback. I think they lead the league in sacks. They got the Penn State guy. I mean, they get after the quarterback. Man. Talking about a tough team here. And, yeah, people are going to say, you know, they just lost to Green Bay and all that. It's like, all right, but this is a tough game, dude. And Vegas thinks it, too, because you're supposed to have a – it's 3 in college, 3.5 in pros, you know. So put at plus 2, think about what that means with the – That's involving the 3.5. So they really think we're going to cleanly lose the game. This is tough. This is tough. I mean, they got a better defense than us. The one thing I'll say, though, is they are giving up 140 yards rushing. That's a lot of yards. We're not great at it. We've improved lately. We're giving up a buck 18. So, now, of course, they're really good, you know, really good PBUs and all that. You mentioned, I think, Diggs in there, too, leading the league or tied with Pat P or whatever. They're only giving up 206 through the air. Look at us. That's 206 per se. But we got to run the ball and not just, you know, even if it's a little screen pass or whatever. One thing I did want to mention with TJ, do we want to keep going back to the tight end screen that clearly we have to work on? Do we want to keep going back to that? Because I love the play in the future, you know, with some mini caps and some training camps and some, you know what I mean? I don't know if we want to abuse that, but I don't mind the little dump offs and screens and all that, and maybe it will work because they'll be so, especially if Darisot, maybe they will come off that edge even crazier and it will work. But that has not, that's the only thing that hasn't worked with TJ. And most of it hasn't been because of him, you know. It's because we do still have some interior stuff. But, it's funny. Doing this prediction stuff, this is the best year I've had predicting the Vikings. Last week was my first time this year getting the prediction wrong. We both picked the Bills. And I feel like I might go back-to-back here. Sometimes that happens too. You get on a hot streak, you get on a losing streak. But I do think in the first thing, or one of the first things that we were talking about, you texted me Sunday night, was the letdown. And if this isn't the place for a letdown, especially against a quality team, you point me to where that's more evident. And I do have to say, we have a chance. Oh my God, yeah, of course, right? Cowboys can do some shit too. Dak can kill you, but he can also throw it up, you know. And we've been playing the Cowboys, what, 4 or 5 years in a row? Most of them are all tight-ass games. Was it last year or the year before Connor Rush got us?
That's Cooper Rush last year. Sorry, Cooper Rush. Viking Classic.
At home, correct?
Yep.
There you go. So, I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys 26-23. It's kind of a knee-jerk thing. I think that most people would think we're going to lose back-to-back had we had just lost the Bills. Because you got to admit, that was kind of in the back of our heads, like, shit, man, this two-game stretch here, it's a little shiesty. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to overdo it if we did lose two in a row because I feel like that was possible. Well, we won one. God dang. To follow back up, and I'll tell you what, we can't get down 14-0 again.
I tell you what, I did text you about the letdown thing, and it's, you know, that's Viking lore, even Gopher lore. You get a big win and get the letdown right after it, especially at home. You're comfy, laying in your own bed, you know, got to get and play a ball game. Let's see where this team is different. I don't know. We're going to a lot of things to prove this season, and that's another one that they can consistently, go at it. But you're right about the Cooper Rush game, and they were doing all kinds of weird stuff. 3 linemen in the backfield. And, but one thing I do remember about these last Dallas matchups is that Cook has really had a good days, against them. And we knew coming down the stretch of the season and into the second half of the season that Cook was going to be called on more and more as we go. And, I think it's going to be a lot of running the football because it's what we do, the best. And that's on the positive side. On the negative side is Duke Shelley and Andrew Booth just kind of scares me. He just doesn't seem comfortable out there yet. He's unsettled and he's going to be looking at CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. And some really talented guys. I mean, we had some good corners.
No Darrisaw? On Monday, I'm saying this prediction is no Darrisaw too.
Yeah. Yeah, and then if there's no Darrisaw and no Evans, because they're in concussions, like you said, I've never heard of a walking concussion, but I know what you're saying. You know, if it's a brush or something, you know, or if he really got his, yeah. But if he really got his bell rung, you know, that'll be a thing too. And hopefully both of those guys can come back. I think Evans has filled in pretty well for Cam. I got some confidence in him. I'm a little worried about Booth, like I said, though. Just calm down, kid, you know. You're from Clemson. You played in big games. I just don't know what the deal is. Maybe you're trying too hard to get in the lineup. Just, you know, let the game come to you, you know. But that scares me a little bit. Micah Parsons, hard to block him. Anthony Barrs is with the Cowboys now.
He is. He's been out the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure.
Okay, no, I don't know that. But so it's going to be a
come back for us. You know?
Sure. I mean, that's another huge thing.
Makes me think, hold on, you know?
Yeah. I like your prediction. I'm going to take the other side of it, though. I'm going to, you know, for the first time, I'm going to put my cynicism away. I'm going to jump firmly on this bandwagon and say that this team has no letdown. This is no letdown. This is a different squad. If they do let down, I will be highly disappointed in this squad, because they just had this fight. This is about fight. This is about grit. This is about want to. And to come and get to your home crowd and have people excited in that house and just to come in and lay an
325 kickoff, you know they're going to be extra tipsy.
And to lay an egg in that situation, it's just very Viking-like, very possible. I mean, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility.
I do feel pretty comfortable.
But I'm going to give this team some credit for once in the last 5 years, and I'm going to say they win this game. I think they're going to come out. I don't say convincing win. I'm not going to say that, but I think, you know, they're going to continue to ride the lightning that they're on. And, you know, I say win by 7, win by 10, probably a game in the high 20s. So I'm going to say 28, 21, something in that area. Hopefully it won't be a nail biter. Maybe it'll be Dallas trying to come back on us this time, but it would be nice to kind of put something away once, but it has been exciting, man. These comebacks have been great, but at the same time, it'd be nice to kind of put a stamp down on, especially an NFC team. You're probably going to see them again.
That's the thing. It's very crucial. And real quick, not to cut you off, 5 seconds left of this game right now. Washington up 26-21.
That was good. I was just checking that.
And they got the ball at the 10 with 5 seconds left.
I want to see Philly again. I want to see Philly again. I think it's a different squad now. I mean, they're good, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I think we beat Dallas. If they let this down next week, expect a rant from me, because I will be highly disappointed in the squad.
All right. Fair enough. On to the Gophers. They took care of business. You know, had to get the dubs. We talked about after that 3-game losing streak. Recoup, you know, get back to the drawing board, get some dubs, get it to the last 2 weeks of the year.
Yep.
Just get it done. Just get it there. That's all we're asking. I mean, Mo, 35 carries, buck 75, 3 touchdowns, 6 in the Big Ten history, rushing touchdowns. He moved past Darrell Thompson. He's now second all-time in rushing yard in the Big Ten, too. So, I mean, this guy, he's still on that 100-yard, what is it, 19 now? I can't remember the damn name. There's so many I can't remember. But it's up there, and it's been since 2000, since I think it was 19 or 20 in a row, 100-yard game. So, you know, he leads the whole country, the FBS actually, 18 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. I mean, Bo's our guy, you know, and, hey, we got a kicker there too. However, and, you know, we needed Purdue to lose or to beat Illinois. And wouldn't you know it, after losing back-to-back, this Big Ten West shaping up exactly how we four teams at 4-3. Wisconsin is now out of that. They're 4-3. And it's coming down to it. Illinois has to. A lot of people are saying, well, hold on. Illinois, well, hold on. They play at Michigan. So you hold on. You know what I mean? I keep hearing that. It's like, dude, they play at Michigan. And Chase Brown, one of the best backs in the whole country, he left that game. And the quarterback left the game a little bit too. So they may not even have their best 1-2 punch going in to Michigan at the Big House. I think they're going to lose that game. If anyone wants to message me, you want to put some money on that, right ahead. Cash App, that. But so they're going to lose. And the problem is, you know, the path is there. Beat Iowa, beat Wisconsin. But it comes down to that. We literally, if we just won that game, we wouldn't need to win at Wisconsin. Nope. We'd still win.
No.
You know what I mean? So
yep.
They're going to have four, you know, it's rough. It is rough. But in this Big Ten, you just never know. They don't have hard games, but you never know. But this week is about time to beat Iowa, period. And they're real, real heavy duty with the blitz. They will send – they're going to send some folks. So this is going to be – I mean, it might be like 6-3, 12-9.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that, yep.
15-12, you know? I mean, it's like 32.5 or something.
Yeah.
Is the, I mean, it's pretty crazy how low the – and I think it's going to go up because people are going to be like, hold on, wait a second. It couldn't quite passively be that low. But the Gophers are favored at home, 2.5. Yeah, 32.5 over under. So that tells you right there. Now, defensively, they somehow score. They find a way to score.
Yeah.
They had a pick six last week. Same guy had a 40-yard, something like that, return that set up a touchdown. That's how Iowa scored. Not going to do a bunch of fancy stuff there in Iowa. But we're big on third down conversions. One of the best teams in the country.
Yep.
That's what it's going to come down to, man. Running the ball, of course, but you're
not
going to be able to run for 250 or 300 on this team.
Mm.
So this is going to be a grinder, man.
Yep.
I'll let you talk about it, but I am picking the Ghost.
This is a Big Ten Army-Navy game. I mean, this is going to be just – I mean, can Mo get 50 carries? Can he handle 50 carries?
Yeah, seriously.
I'm not sure because weather-wise, it's going to be cold, at least cold, maybe snow. And I kind of want to go to this game because just the atmosphere of, like, cold. It's Iowa. You know, their offense sucks. We're going to run. I don't think PJ's going to take any chance at turning the ball over in this one. And if anybody fumbles, they're cut. I mean, this is going to be run the ball, and take the under all day long. And, you know, I think it's going to be, like you said, 6-3, 9-3, 9-6. I mean, it's just going to be fighting offensive line, defensive line. Now, like you said, their defense is crafty and opportunistic, and the only thing that their defense is missing is an offense, you know.
Right.
And, which is unfortunate for them. I don't know what happened to their offense. And I don't know if it's scheming or outdated. That's what everybody seems to think. But, you know, Ferentz has had that thing going for a long time. So maybe it's a talent thing. It's just it's unusual for Iowa. But, yeah, I mean, you have to beat Iowa this year. And, you know, you got to win these last two. I mean, throw the records out against Wisconsin. I don't care what their record is. They're going to bring everything they got, especially last year, especially for what we did last year with playing jump around. At a victory. I mean, it's on, dude.
Yeah.
And we seem to forget that we did, you know, dig the knife in pretty hard there. They're coming. And so it's going to be a tough game against Wisconsin. And if you win these two now, you know, not only would it be impressive, but like you said, you're back in the, well, you're already in the Big Ten West, but, you know.
But nine wins either way.
Nine wins is a thing.
Ten, I'm not going to complain about that.
No. So, but this is the one we had circled all year, you know, Chris. We circled Illinois-Purdue as the crux of the season, and then this is the one you had to get this year. because we've just never beat Iowa in the Fleck regime.
Yep.
And it has to happen. So I hope the team knows that. I'm not too worried about their defense because our offensive line is it's not the best in the world, but it's good enough to handle something like that. It's just, can Mo get off? How's the freshman, if he plays, going to handle that type of thing?
That's another thing, too.
And I like him, you know. I think he's coming along.
Body injury that we don't know what the hell it is, you know.
Well, I mean, if you can play Morgan in a handoff fest, I'm down with that. Just don't let him throw the football. I just don't want him throwing the ball.
If it's a handoff fest, fucking youngster can run better.
That's true. You got a good point there. But all that being said, my pick is Gophers by 3. If I got to put a score on it, I'm going to go something like you said, like 13-10, something like that.
Innings, or they'll get it done in 9 innings?
I think it's going to be a fight, man. That's kind of why I want to go. I think it's going to be like just a brawl, you know. And let's see if the Gophers are elite. Let's see if they got a brawl in them, because I haven't seen them much, you know, in a brawl, you know. So I want to see them to do that. I think, you know, they got some young people in their defense that are playing really well, but expect some injuries, and this is going to be a street fight.
Yeah,
you know. And so this is like old Big Ten football, and I think it's a rare thing. So if you get a chance to go see it. I'm going to try, but it's hard to get Gopher tickets for me. I don't know why, but maybe I just don't know how to do it. But we'll talk about that off the air. Nonetheless, I say Gophers by 3, a very low scoring game, and then we can start talking about, you know, a really tough Wisconsin game, but it's, you know, everybody said get to the end of the season. Well, here we are, and these are not going to be easy.
Real quick, wanted to know, we did get a little peek at the true frosh, the early enrollee, Zach Evans. He was in there. He was a little banged up this year, but he was in there, got some carries, and he's the guy that kind of, well, not kind of, he shined during spring practice. It was nice to get the youngster some carries. You hear Mo talk about him. He's all
got a little wiggle. Yeah, he's nice, man.
He's a wiggle, and he'll run you right over too. So yeah, man, he's from Texas too. So I mean, it says enough. Sign him up. So yeah, that's a big business law minor guy. He picked the right school there. Top 10 business school, my friend. So yeah, he's going to be something. I think he's going to be something. There. Him and Potts show. But yeah, Mo just keeps on tugging, dude. This dude is so fun to watch, man. 38 freaking kids. This guy's just a beast. All right, we will definitely be back next Monday. Let's hope we're talking about double dubs like double dub this last week. Take it easy. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the games. Peace.